I'd like to bid each one warmly welcome this evening to this installation service for our brother, the Reverend James Porter. And we do bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. We thank you for coming and to meet with us here for this special service in the history of Bethel Church this evening. And we do give a special welcome to those that are associated with the Porter family. It's good to see you here. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless each one this evening. And there are those here from the Market Hill Church. And also we see those from our local congregations as well, and other visitors. And we do bid you each one especially welcome here in the Saviour's name this evening. We're going to commence the meeting tonight with our opening praise. The first hymn in our order of service, paraphrase number 2, O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. And we'll stand to sing after the note, please. Stand together. I'm going to ask our brother, the Reverend David Linton, father-in-law of our brother, the Reverend Porter, and he's going to come now and open our meeting in a word of prayer. Then after that, our brother, the Reverend David McMillan, is going to bring greetings from Presbytery. Thank you, brother.
We look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow before thee and enter into thy presence tonight in prayer. We come before thee with our praises, Lord. And we praise thee for that access that we have right into thy presence, coming through the precious name of thine eternal Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who is the Saviour, and the only Saviour of sinners. We praise thee, Lord, for his atoning work. We thank thee for the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. We praise thee for his precious blood. And rejoice, O God, that there is cleansing from sin through the precious blood of him who is the Lamb of God. We praise thee, O God, that it is through the blood that we are reconciled to God. And we thank thee, Lord, that it is because of his atoning work that the wrath of God and the justice of God has been satisfied on behalf of all of the redeemed. And Lord, we do pray that thou would accept of our thanks for all that we have in the Redeemer. We pray, Lord, for this service tonight. We bring it before thee. And Lord, we pray that thou would be pleased to have us to know that real sense of the presence of God in the midst. We pray, O God, that there will be the stamp of the approval of the Lord upon everything that is said and done. We thank thee, Lord, for this occasion. We pray, O God, that thou would do good. And we pray, Lord, that here in this service thou would set thy seal upon it and upon the call that thou hast given to thy servant and our brother, the Reverend Porter. We thank thee, Lord, for him. We thank thee for saving him. We thank thee, Lord, for putting him into the ministry. We praise thee for thy blessing that has been upon him and upon his ministry in the years now gone by. We thank thee, Lord, for every evidence of thy grace in his life. And we pray, O God, that thou would be pleased to bless him in a very particular manner here tonight. And as he would come, Lord, to take up the charge in this, for him, a new congregation, we pray, O God, that he will have that sense of being in the very center of the will of the Lord. We praise thee for thy ways, and thank thee that all of the ways of the Lord are right. And, O Lord, we do pray that here tonight there will be that evidence of the pleasure and power of God in the meeting. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless our brother, the Reverend Porter. We pray that thou would bless his wife. Pray, Lord, that thou would do good to Helen and to all of the children, that the whole family will know the sense of the arms of the Lord around them at this time, and that thou would have their hearts to bear testimony to the fact of the goodness and the graciousness of the Lord, even at this time. We do pray, Lord, that thou would remember everything that is done and each one who will take part in the service. We pray, Lord, that thou would remember in a special way the reading and the preaching of thy word. We pray that thou would have thy servant who will minister the word tonight, Lord, grant to him that special, that fresh anointing, that he would know the very power of God, the Holy Ghost, in the place of preaching, so that from the very beginning of the service to the closing words of benediction, it will all be of the Lord, that thou would receive honour and glory to thine own dear and precious name in and through the service. We do pray for any, Lord, who are yet unsaved. We pray that this night thou would have their hearts to be opened and the word of God applied by the Spirit of God, and they might be drawn to the Saviour for salvation. Pray, O God, tonight that they will be made able to look away to Christ and to receive the Lord as their personal Saviour. Bless thine own blood-bought people. Lord, let there be that word of encouragement, we pray thee, that word of edifying. Bless any in the meeting, Lord, tonight who would need that word of comfort. Thou knowest every heart and every circumstance, Lord. Let there be a word for each one. We would look to thee for this. And Lord, if it should be that there are those in the meeting who would be backslidden in heart, cold and careless, who once walked with thee, but who would wander into bypath meadows, Pray that thou would have the word to be applied to them, and that there will be that work of restoration again, bringing them afresh to the Lord to enjoy the blessings that they once enjoyed. Lord, all of this we throw upon thee. Thou art God, and Lord, we pray tonight that in this service that work will be done, which will bring honor and glory to thy name. Undertake for us now, Lord. Bless us with thy presence. Answer prayer. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Folk, it is a joy to be here tonight, and it's a great privilege to take part in this special service, and it's a great privilege to be asked to speak on behalf of the Presbytery. First of all, I have to bring some apologies and some messages to the Reverend Porter and to the family, first of all, from the Reverend John Gray, the former minister of the congregation here in Bethel. Apologies, we are unable to attend your installation service this evening. On behalf of Arlene and myself, we would like to wish the Reverend Porter, his wife and family, God's richest blessing on this very special night of his installation as the new minister of Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that they will know a rich and fruitful ministry in County Fermanagh. I congratulate the session, committee and congregation of Bethel on their choice of minister, and want to assure them of our prayers in the days that lie ahead. Arlene and I will never forget the 18 years we spent in Bethel, the love and support that the congregation showed us, I have no doubt will be shown to the Reverend Porter and his family. Looking forward to hearing of the great things happening in County Fermanagh in the days ahead. God bless John and Arlene. Also from the Reverend Peter McIntyre, the minister of the Clapper Valley Church, apologies, I'm unable to attend your installation service this evening. We trust that you have a blessed meeting tonight, and pray that the Reverend Porter's ministry will be fruitful in Enniskillen and throughout Fermanagh in Christ Peter. A number of our ministers have sent their apologies, the Reverend Gordon Ferguson, the Reverend Karen Salt, the Reverend Julian Patterson, the Reverend Jeffrey Abraham, the Reverend Ivan and Mrs. Ann Foster, the Reverend Brian Lorimer, and also the Reverend John Greer, the Clerk of Presbytery. There's a message too from Pastor Samuel Aiken, the local independent Methodist minister. I would like to apologize that I will not be able to attend the installation service tonight for the Reverend James Porter and to welcome him to Enniskillen. My prayer is that the Reverend Porter will know God's blessing upon his ministry here in Enniskillen, and that God will use him to see the kingdom extended in Enniskillen. So those are messages and apologies have been sent to the Reverend Porter and the family tonight. Can I remind you that the term Presbyterian comes from the Greek word presbyteros, that is the Greek word for elder. So in essence, Presbyterianism is ruled by elders. Every local church is ruled and governed by its elders. Taking that on to a higher level, can I point out that the presbytery is the body that oversees and governs all the local congregations. And the presbytery is made up of all of the elders, both teaching and ruling. The New Testament does make a distinction in the elders, those that rule well and those that labour in the word and doctrine, the minister being the teaching elder. So the presbytery is made up of all of the elders, both teaching and ruling, from every local congregation. This installation service tonight is conducted not by the local church here in Bethel and in Enniskillen, but it's conducted by the presbytery itself. You'll see that from the front of your order of service, where it speaks of the general presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. And there is a good number of presbyters present in this service this evening. not all the presbytery is here, but there's a strong cross-section of presbytery members that are with us in order to represent the presbytery itself and also to represent many of our congregations here at this service. And the reason for that, men and women, is that the reason that many presbytery members are present is that the installation of a minister in a congregation is the work and the responsibility of the presbytery. And led by our moderator, the Reverend Gordon Dane, it will be the presbytery that will conduct the installation of the Reverend Porter as the fourth ordained minister, if my count is correct. He will be ordained tonight as the fourth ordained minister of the Bethel congregation here in Enniskillen. In addition to carrying out the installation, as a presbytery, we're here to bring you our greetings. Greetings in the scriptures is more. It is much more than just saying hello to the congregation here in Enniskillen on a special evening such as this. In bringing you our greetings tonight, it is the whole presbytery, it is the denomination at large, assuring you as a congregation of our desire, our burden, our prayer for your spiritual welfare and for the Lord's blessing on your work here and especially upon the labours of your new minister. The Reverend James Porter is an esteemed member of our presbytery. He has proved himself over the years as a hard worker, a diligent pastor, an earnest soul winner. His previous labours in Convoy in County Donegal for just over 10 years, and then in Market Hill, County Armagh for the last 13 years. All of those labours in both of those congregations have been owned of the Lord. And as a presbytery, we have been encouraged and we've been blessed by the fruit of our brother's ministry, and especially the growth and progress in Market Hill over the last 13 years. And it is our earnest and united prayer that the Lord will bless our brother's ministry here in a similar way, and perhaps in an even greater way. May the Lord be pleased to give the double portion of his blessing upon your future labours here in this place. And we want tonight to assure the Reverend Porter and his family of our continued prayers and support as he takes up this new sphere of service here in Enniskillen tonight. I can assure you, men and women, I can assure you all that we will miss him down in County Armagh, and especially he'll be missed in Market Hill. He has been my neighbouring minister for all of those 13 years in Market Hill. I've been on both sides of the town. First of all, for 5 years, 5 of my 9 years in Mullaghlass, and then the last 8 years in the city of Armagh. So our brother is a close friend, a co-worker, and he will be missed much in our community. But we know well that the man that he is, and I can assure you that Enniskillen and County Fermanagh will be greatly blessed by his coming here among you. To the church here in Enniskillen tonight as a presbytery, we want you to know that we rejoice in the Lord's provision for you of a new shepherd for the flock. That is a great and a vital provision. It is a great and a vital blessing for any congregation. One of the chief concerns of the presbytery in its oversight of the churches is that vacant congregations do not go long without a minister of their own. It is true that very few churches do well in a long vacancy. And we are very happy that the Lord has supplied the vital need here of a godly, faithful, conscientious pastor for this church. The call by the communicant members of this congregation to the Reverend Porter has been reported to the presbytery. It was ratified by the presbytery at its October meeting in Lisburn, and it was a blessing for us that night to hear of the Lord's leading, the Lord's overruling hand in guiding both the Reverend Porter and the Enniskillen congregation to bring your hearts and minds together. We know that this is a remote part of the province. At times you feel far away from everyone and everything that is happening. But brethren and sisters, we have come here tonight to this meeting. We have made the journey to be here with you because we want to stand with you. We want to encourage you as a congregation. We want to strengthen your hands by our presence with you tonight. And we have come to assure you that we value your ministry. We value the witness of this congregation in this isolated part of our province and of our land. County Fermanagh didn't experience as much of the blessing of God in revival times as other parts of the province. The evangelical witness is not as strongly represented here as it is in other counties. And what that means is this: your ministry is all the more vital here in this town and in this county. And as a presbytery, we will continue to do all that we can to support you as you continue that ministry and as you continue to extend Christ's kingdom here in County Fermanagh. And I want to urge you as a congregation to do something very important, and that is to encourage the Reverend Porter and his wife and family as they take up their ministry here. Whenever Joyce Show was taking over the great responsibility as the leader of the children of Israel, Moses said this to the people. Among the message that he gave to the children of Israel at that time, there were two important words: encourage him. It's a short message, a simple message that everyone here can understand tonight, and we want to urge you to do that. If any man needs encouragement today, it is the gospel minister. There is so much to discourage, so much to discourage the Lord's people in general, but so much to discourage the minister in particular in the days in which we live. So to this congregation here in Enniskillen, we, the Presbytery of Ulster, appeal to you to encourage our brother, to encourage your new minister, encourage him by your presence, your faithful, regular presence at the meetings. Encourage him by your prayers, both in private and in public. Encourage him by your labours. Be a co-labourer, work alongside our brother. Encourage him by your generosity. Give to him and to the congregation here to extend the work. We want to encourage you to do all that you can to help and encourage him in his labours. Be a Barnabas to him. That is a ministry in itself, but be an encourager, be a son of or a daughter of consolation. And let me remind you, in these days of political uncertainty, that there's only one thing that will save this country, and there's only one thing that will save Ulster, and that is a move of God, men and women, a move of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I urge you all tonight, as I finish, in the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth those many years ago, whenever he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Remember, that's the all-important thing, the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Thank you, and may God bless you all.
We thank our brother, Mr. Linton, and our brother, McMillan, for their words this evening. We're going to call upon our brother, Reverend Gregory McCammon, to come now and to read the scriptures. And after our brother brings before us the Word of God, our deputy moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong from Dungannon, is going to come and ask the prescribed questions of our brother, the Reverend James Porter.
The first scripture reading tonight is taken from the book of the Psalms, the Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I just want to say, as you find the place, that I rejoice in how the Lord has guided the Reverend Porter and also the direction that he has given to you as a congregation. I believe that you'll be blessed in the calling that you have extended to this brother in Christ. And I'll not say anything more, but I do acquiesce in all that the Reverend MacMillan has said about the labours and about the character and the godliness and the gifts of your new minister. And I know you'll not be disappointed one bit. And it's my desire, my prayer for you, that the Reverend Porter will be blessed, his ministry will be much blessed among you, and that you'll know the rich grace of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your congregation as you sit under him week by week. Let us hear the word of God then. Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. May God be pleased to bless the reading from his own inspired, inerrant, and infallible word for Christ's sake. Amen.
I'd like to invite the Reverend Porter to come forward into the pulpit, please. And as he makes his way forward, could I say very briefly how delighted I am to be here this evening and to share in this meeting. Mr. Porter and me entered college on the same day. We got out on the same day, 20-something years ago. We're older, yes. We're wiser, at least. Well, Mr. Porter was always wise, so he hadn't much improving to do as far as that situation was concerned. But we're older, and I trust we're wiser. And so it's a great joy and a great privilege to be here tonight as our brother is installed in this congregation in Bethel. We come at this point in the service to a most solemn part of the proceedings tonight. because our brother will avow before this congregation, and more importantly, in many ways, before the Lord, his determination to fulfill a faithful ministry in this part of the Lord's vineyard and in this congregation. And so we come to proceedings that are vital and important as far as tonight is concerned. And he will answer a number of questions set by our presbytery. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, not merely to contain, but to be the verbally inspired word of the living God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and believe the Articles of Faith and the Westminster Standards as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
Are you firmly resolved through divine grace to adhere to the doctrine contained in the said confessions and teach and defend it to the utmost of your power against all error?
I am.
Will you subscribe the said confessions as the confession of your faith?
I will.
Will you maintain at all cost to personal reputation and vain worldly popularity the three fundamentals of the faith as set out by Dr. Henry Cook? 1. The Trinity. 2. The virgin birth and vicarious atonement of Christ. 3. The necessity of the work of the Spirit to originate faith and repentance in the heart of man.
I will.
Will you maintain, with all the strength that God shall give you, the truly scriptural separation position of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, and vigorously withstand the apostasy of Irish Presbyterianism, exhorting God's people to obey the teaching and commandment of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5.
I will.
Do you believe the Presbyterian government and discipline of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to adhere to it and support it, and to yield submission and be in subjection to your brethren, as is taught in the Word of God?
I do.
Have you the experience of the new birth? And do you believe that it is only by the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you can make full proof of your ministry?
I have, and I do.
Will you publicly denounce the great public vices of drinking, dancing, gambling, and the pleasure crazes of this present evil world, and by example live righteously, soberly, and godly before all men?
I will.
Will you maintain the purity of the communion feast, and by all scriptural and lawful means resist any attempt to weaken the testimony of the Church in her stand for a born-again communicant membership?
I will.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the gospel against modernistic apostasy, and in working for the purity and peace of the Church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account?
I do.
And do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all private and personal duties which become you as a Christian and minister of the gospel, as well as in all relative duties and public duties of your office, endeavouring to adorn the profession of the gospel by your conversation and walking with exemplary piety before the flock over which God shall make you overseer? And are you now willing to take charge of this congregation, promising to discharge the duties of the pastor to them as God shall give you strength?
I do, and I am.
Our brother, having answered these questions, I'd like to invite the moderator of our presbytery, the Reverend Dane, to come forward and conduct the next part of the proceedings.
Reverend James Porter, having answered the prescribed questions, will now sign the following. I believe the Westminster Confession and the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and as such I subscribe them as a confession of my faith. While we don't have a laying on of hands at an installation service, our brother is being installed by the presbytery, so we're going to ask the members of presbytery, the elders and ministers of our presbytery, and we'll just go down to the front if we just come down there and we'll do the installation. For its edification, we do install you as minister of this congregation. For this purpose, may the blessing of God rest upon you and the Spirit of God fill your heart. Amen. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we rejoice in thy mercy tonight. We thank thee for the joining together of pastor and congregation. We thank thee for thy blessing upon the life of thy servant. We thank thee for thy salvation mercy in his life. We thank thee for that day when thou didst lift him from the horrible pit and miry clay of sin, and thou didst set his feet upon the rock and establish his goings. We thank thee that thou hast directed his goings. We thank thee for thy hand upon his life. We thank thee for his upbringing. We thank thee for the influences that he's had, and particularly those influences that have directed him to Christ. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst bless him. We thank thee for the ministry that he has had, both in Convoy and in Market Hill. We thank thee, our God, for those that thou hast used him to influence, and those that he has been used to point to Christ. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst bless him as he comes here to Enniskillen. We pray that thy hand would be upon him, that thou wouldst bless in this town, that thou wouldst cause there to be a move of God here in County Fermanagh. We pray, our God, that thou wouldst open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive. And Lord, as has been said, this county was largely passed in 1859. But, O God, we pray that in 2018, 2019, that the blessing of God would come down, and that thou wouldst add to the church such as should be seen. Make thy servant a blessing here in Enniskillen and in County Fermanagh. And we pray, our God, that thou wouldst open the windows of heaven for him, and that thou wouldst bless the ministry here in this place. Lord, bless him, bless his family, bless his wife. Be with them, our God, as they settle in. And we pray that thou wouldst knit the hearts of pastor and people together. And, O God, that they might go forward and see great things done for thy name's sake and for thy glory in the incoming days. Do we with them now bless in the rest of our meeting. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.
Congregation, can be
I'm going to ask the Reverend Porter to come now and to give a short word of testimony, please.
I think we might need a lift into this pulpit. It's quite high up. I've been asked to give a word of testimony. You see that in the order of service. I appreciate there's other things to do tonight, so it'll really be an abridged version, as I might say, of our testimony, and hopefully some other Lord's Day evening. We'll seek to give a fuller word of testimony, but in giving a word of testimony, I always like to read two verses from Scripture found in Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 38, and the verses 17 and 20. Let me just read those two verses with you. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 17 and 20. Says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul and delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." In the opening part of verse 20, "The Lord was ready to save me." And may the Lord bless those few verses to all our hearts tonight. I was born in the town of Omagh, the county town of Omagh, and county town of Tyrone, not so far away here from Enniskillen in the west. We grew up there in that town. And in the year 1973, my parents joined the Free Presbyterian Church there in Omagh. It had just been going for a few years. And as far back as we can remember, we knew the gospel. We heard the gospel as a young child. And it was shortly after that, in the month of November 1973, that the Lord began to deal with my heart as a young child, brought us under deep conviction of sin, and I realized my need of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the then minister, the Reverend Ken Elliott, was used that Sabbath evening to point me to the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in Him and to call upon Him for salvation. That is a night I've never forgotten. It was in the old prayer room of the old hut that was there down on the Derry Road in Omagh, where the site of the present church is today. And as we sought to go on in the primary school years, we sought to live for Christ and go on with the Lord. But sadly, during teenage years, they were years of drifting and backsliding and turning away from the things of the Lord. However, the Lord was merciful. And on the 1st of January 1986, through the Lord's dealings with us for a considerable period of time, early that morning, the Lord restored me by His grace back to Himself through a little text of Scripture preached then by the late Reverend Cecil Mineri at a watch night service in Crossgar from Psalm 104, verse 26, where it simply says, "There go the ships." And he applied that verse that night to those who were gathered. Have you a captain in your life leading you, guiding you, and directing you? Are you without a captain? Are you going to make shipwreck in the year that lies before you? And I knew that was a word to me, and the Lord challenged my heart. And that night I sought the Lord afresh for His restoring power and His restoring grace. And I thank the Lord for His hand of mercy upon me through those wilderness years and that night in particular. And since then, by God's grace, I've sought to go on with the Lord in the spring and summer of 1986 through various circumstances in the ministry of different brethren. And the Lord began to challenge my heart about full-time Christian service, in particular the words of Isaiah 61, verse 1, relating to the public ministry of Christ, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach." In 1989, we made application to the Whitfield College of the Bible. We're working at that time. And then I commenced studies, as our brother, the Reverend Armstrong, has said, with him and many others, on the year 1991, the same year that Helen and I both were married. We finished in Bible College in 1995.
ministered in Convoy, County Donegal, from 1995 through to 2005, and then in Market Hill from 2005 until October of this year, 2018. Last year I preached here at a harvest service in Bethel, and I was asked to come back again to preach, and we did that in the June of this year. And then I was asked to pray about the vacancy and about coming back here to preach, and we agreed to do that. And we come back again to preach in September of this year. And over the summer and during September, we're praying very much about the vacancy here and about the Lord's leading in our life regarding this. And then whenever the call came through from the congregation on the 25th of September, God began to confirm more and more that that was His will for me to move here to Enniskillen in County Fermanagh. And that night in particular, when I heard news of the call, in my own devotions, I was reading the words of James 4, verse 7, where it says, "Submit yourselves to God." And the burden was to submit my heart and my life afresh to the Lord. The next day again, we read the words of Jacob in Genesis 35, verse 3, where he said to his family, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel." And of course, the name of the church here is Bethel. Again, later on that week, the Lord spoke again very powerfully through the words of Job 23, verse 14, where it says, "He performeth the thing that is appointed for me." And we knew that this call was something that God Himself had performed for us. And then again, later on, at the end of that week, God spoke very powerfully to my heart from Isaiah 43, verse 1, when He says, "Fear not, I have called thee and by thy name, and thou art mine." And there are many more verses and circumstances, but we haven't really time to go through those tonight. But we believe that was the will of the Lord to accept the call here to Enniskillen. Friday the 5th of October, I accepted that call formally at our presbytery, and hence my installation service here tonight as the new minister of Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. And I would like to thank the congregation here in Bethel for calling me to be their next minister. It is most humbling, and it is also a great honour to be entrusted with this charge and the ministry here. I'd like to pay special tribute to your previous minister, the Reverend John Gray. In many ways, I'm entering into the faithful labours of God's servant who has laboured here just before the recent vacancy. And as I would settle into the work here, and in Enniskillen, I would certainly covet your prayers. I'd ask you to pray that I would know the Lord's help, the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's grace, and the Lord's blessing upon our ministry here. Do please pray for the salvation of souls and the building up of God's people through our ministry here week by week. My wife Helen and family and I are looking forward to settling in to the area here and getting to know the congregation. And our prayer is that our hearts will be knit together with you around the things of the Lord. And can I say that the manse is always an open home, and the door is always open for anyone who wishes to call. You will be most welcome, and we will be very glad to see you. I'd like to give a special word of thanks to the Reverend Raymond Robison, the interim moderator here, for all his help and guidance as interim moderator and help with our move and preparation for this meeting here, particularly tonight. And now that we're installed, I'm sure brother's wife will see a wee bit more of our brother in the house night by night. We want to thank him sincerely for all his help. And we pray the Lord will continue to richly bless him and use him there in Cash. I'd like to thank all who have helped in any way to make our move as easy and as smooth as possible. I know there have been many long hours spent in getting the manse ready. I want to thank you sincerely for that. And Helen also thanks you as well as the congregation for the flowers that were there on our arrival last Wednesday. And we've got through most of the boxes, I think. There's still a few left, but in due season we'll get rid of them all and get them all unpacked, and I suppose we'll be looking for things for a few months to come. But we want to thank all who have helped in any way with our move down here last week. I'd like to thank all the brethren who have taken part tonight, and those who will take part in the service, and other colleagues in the ministry who are here as well. We appreciate you taking the time. We know life is very busy, and it's a busy time of the year with many other things on, but really appreciate you coming here tonight. I want to thank all who have come tonight. I know there's many here from the locality, but as I look over the congregation, I see many as well from afar. And your presence is a great encouragement to myself, my wife, and my family. It's also lovely to see family and friends with us, especially my own mother and Helen's mother and father as well. It's also great to see so many friends from our Market Hill congregation. We went to Market Hill in 2005, really not knowing too many people there. But we had a blessed time there over this past 13 years. And we leave behind dear friends whom we've got to know and to love over the years in the work of the Lord. And we thank you all for coming tonight. And I pray that soon in the will of the Lord will send you a pastor of his choosing to fulfill the vacancy in the ministry there in County Armagh. It's nice to see so many as well from our home congregation in Omagh, and also those who have come down from Bethany, where my wife Helen has taught there in the school for this past 12 years. And it's a real delight to have all our own children here tonight. Nathaniel's wife Jacqueline, and Joanna's fiancé David, and Emma and Joshua. I want to thank you all for coming. It means so much. I thank God for you all and for his saving grace in each of your lives. And I pray that God will bless and guide you all in the ways of the Lord at this particular time. I want to pay special tribute tonight just to my wife Helen. In all her years of ministry, Helen has been a tremendous help, blessing, encouragement and support in the work of the Lord. And in moving here just to Market Hill, her reply was simply, "Where you go, I go as well." She is staying on to teach in Portadown until Christmas, and then in the new year down to one day a week through to June. So after that she'll be looking maybe for a job in this area, in this community. But we thank Helen for all her help and support over the years. But lastly, and most important of all, I want to publicly tonight thank the Lord for saving me many years ago, and for calling me into his work, and for sustaining me and keeping me in his work right to this very evening. And now in his mercy, in his great mercy, opening up a new door of service here in Enniskillen and in County Fermanagh. And to the Lord tonight be all the glory, all the honour, and all the praise. And we thank the Lord afresh for his tender mercies and his gracious dealings with us over the years. And if there's one here tonight and you're not saved, I would certainly urge you even tonight to come and to trust the Lord and to taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And if you're from the area here and free in the Lord's Day, we'll be delighted to see you at our services on the Lord's Day morning at 12 noon and 7 o'clock in the evening. We'll be delighted to have you. But people, do please pray for us and for the congregation as we take up the charge here in the will of the Lord. Thank you all, and God bless you all. Amen.
I'd like to thank our brother James for that word, and it is good to know that the man in the pulpit is a man who is saved, a man who knows and who loves the Lord. And as you listen to his testimony, you realise he's a man from this part of the country, from the west of the province. He was up in Armagh, so it's nice to see him back down to the west. It's nice to have a little bit of support now in Fermanagh. We were just there in Kay, so it's good to have a brother here, and we have known him for some time, and it's good to fellowship with him here in the Lord's work. And we trust and pray that he know the Lord's blessing as he takes up labours here in this corner of the Lord's vineyard. And we do thank the congregation here and the session and committee in Bethel. We have been interim moderator for a year and a half, and we do thank them for all their support and their help. And I have to say, brother, the session and committee, they're very easy to work with. They're not too hard to get on with, and we know that you'll have a good time with them here as you commence the work, and you'll know their support. And you'll be up and down those steps quite a few times, and you'll be a fitter man within about 6 months anyway, one way or another. So it is good to have you here, and we trust and pray that the Lord blesses your labours here in this corner of the vineyard. And it is good to see a good crowd tonight. And we're delighted to see the church so well filled, and the folk here from Bethel, and as our brother has said, the visiting people from the different congregations. And we do thank you for coming and supporting the witness here this evening. And we do remind you that there is a cup of tea after the service as well, so don't be rushing away when it's over. Have a cup of tea and a time of fellowship, kindly provided by the ladies who have been busy as well in doing all of that. And the men have been busy with the church and with the house as well. So we do appreciate all of their labours and thank them for that. We're coming now to the offering hymn. It's the second hymn in your order of service. Hymn number 308, O happy day that fixed my choice. On thee, my Saviour and my God, well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptors all abroad. And while we sing this hymn, could we ask you to remain seated while the offering is received, and the offering will be going to our brother, the Reverend Porter, this evening. Let's stand together for the final two verses, please. That's good singing. We are delighted this evening to have our brother, the Reverend Graham Middleton, with us from our Tullyvallen congregation. And we're going to ask our brother to come and to read the scriptures. And immediately after that, our moderator, the Reverend Gordon Dean, is going to come and to bring God's precious word this evening.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Can I just say it's a great honour and privilege to be here this evening. I didn't expect to be here to do this task tonight, but I think I'm glad to be here, because when I came in through the door, your new minister here in Enniskillen called me Glenn. I don't know whether he was thinking that I must look like his former interim moderator's brother-in-law, who's a member of our congregation in Tullyvallen, but he called me Glenn anyway. But we trust the Lord will bless God's servant here. He is a good man. I have heard plenty of stories, plenty of talk about Tullyvallen. He was the mentor and moderator there for 3.5 years or so during our vacancy. And the congregation thoroughly respected him and thoroughly enjoyed his ministry. So I can say this evening to Enniskillen that you're getting a very good man indeed. And he will be sorely missed in South Armagh, both in Tullyvallen and also, of course, in Market Hill. But we'll pray for him, and we trust the Lord will bless him and his family here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the Word of God says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." We trust the Lord will bless this reading from his divinely inspired word to our hearts for his great name's sake. Amen.
I'd like to thank Mr. Middleton for reading the scriptures for us this evening. We're glad to be here tonight. And as somebody from Enniskillen, I'm doubly delighted. This is my home congregation, so I'm glad to be here tonight and to share fellowship with you. And as a Fermanagh man, I say that there's none like the Fermanagh people. Now, don't tell that to my own congregation in County Down. But I had a sharp intake of breath when Mr. McMillan said that Enniskillen was remote. I think maybe we'll have to give him a guard as he goes out through the door tonight. But it's the centre of the earth, isn't it? But we're glad to see Mr. Porter come here. And we're glad that God has called him here to this corner of the vineyard. Now, I said to the congregation in Market Hill, I was preaching for Mr. Porter a year or so ago, that I was tracing up my family tree. And I discovered that my great-great-grandmother was Porter from between Trellick and Dromore. So there's a possibility that we are related one to another. So he really has come home. Well, I think probably Dromore and Trellick is home for us, and that's where my ancestry lies. But we're glad to be here, and we pray that God will bless his servant as he comes to take up the labour here in this corner of the vineyard. Now turn with me to the portion that was read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's just unite together, please, the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for what has been said and what we have heard already in our meeting. We thank thee for the worship that as we have come to thee, we've been able to lift up our hearts with thanksgiving and praise unto our God. And we pray that thou wouldst bless and be with us as we come to the end of this meeting, as we open up thy word. Our God, we thank thee for the word of God. It is the truth. And our God, we pray that we might stand upon the truth of God's precious word in this day. We know, Lord, that it has become even more unfashionable than it has ever been. But our God, we thank thee that it still stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time, and its truth by none will ever will be refuted, and it stands like a rock divine. We pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst bless and be with us as we seek to worship thee just now. Draw near, bless thy servant, be with him here in this pulpit, and add to the church such as should be saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Thessalonica was a bustling seaport city at the head of the Thermaic coast at the Gulf there. It was an important city in the day in which Paul was writing. It was on a junction between the Ignatian Way and the road leading north to the Danube. And it had become the capital of the province of Macedonia. And the background of the Macedonian church is found in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. Paul had gone there. At first he'd gone into a Jewish synagogue, and probably there were Jews there in the church in Thessalonica. But when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10 there in particular, you can see that the church obviously was composed mostly of Gentiles. Those that had come out from the Gentile nations, the Greeks there, had come into the membership of the church. But we also find that Paul had to leave Thessalonica abruptly. Acts 17 tells us how the Jews, out of a spirit of envy and jealousy, had got hold of some troublemakers, and they had managed to stir up the people in the city of Thessalonica and got them into an uproar. And as a result, the people advised Paul that he should not stay, that he should get out of the city, and in many ways he had to flee. So in the end, Paul's stay in Thessalonica was a rather brief stay. And the people who had come now as converts out of paganism, out of superstition, out of false religion, they were really left there, just new converts. And they hadn't the privilege of having Paul to mentor them and to help them there. So Paul writes this letter in order to encourage them and to exhort them and to give instruction to them at this time. And he wants to assure them that in the future that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. But I want you to see that there were obviously those in Thessalonica who were using the fact that Paul had to leave as a way of accusing them, as a way of criticizing them. And Paul really here has to defend himself in what he says. Now, he's not defending himself for the sake of his own reputation.
but he is defending himself here and the ministry that God has given him. And in the midst of his defense of himself, I want you to see that he reveals many things about the way that he operated, about the way that his ministry was operated, about the things that he did. And he gives us some understanding about what a good minister of Jesus Christ is. And you notice what he says in verse 1 here of the chapter, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." And it is the prayer of every minister and every servant of God that his entrance among the people would not be in vain, that there would be much fruit, that there would be blessing. And we want to see, and we need at least some degree and measure of the manifest characteristics of the blessing of God that Paul experienced here. You know, in this day and generation, there are a lot of ideas about what a good minister is. There are those that will say, well, a good minister is a good mixer with people. And of course, if a minister is a good mixer with people, that's good. There are those that say, well, he has to be up to date. He has to be modern. He has to connect with the young people. That's good to connect with the young people. But there are those that think, well, you have to wear a t-shirt and play a guitar or something in order to be a good minister. Some people think, well, he needs to be a good politician. He needs to be up to date with the goings on in the world. And he needs to be a good political campaigner. And he needs to be in with the fashionable causes of the day. Some people think he's just a gentleman. As Dr. Paisley used to say, he'd take a cup of tea with his finger in the air. Many times we have all sorts of ideas about what a good minister is. But I want you to see the things that Paul points out, what the Word of God points out, what the Spirit of God points out, are the things that mark out a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about these things, men and women here. Those are in the congregation in Enniskillen. Those are here that you're visiting here. But what are the things that mark out a good minister of Jesus Christ? Because there are many ministries being set up here and there and everywhere in this day and generation. What are the characteristics of a good minister of Jesus Christ? Well, there are a number of things that I want to point out to you in this chapter of God's precious word. And the first thing that I want you to see is the minister's love. Look at verses 7 and 8 of the chapter. It says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." And I want you to see that there's the minister's love. And we can see here something about that love. A minister, any child of God, and anyone that's working in the work of God needs that kind of love. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." In other words, the words that we speak will mean nothing. We can be as eloquent as we can be. But it'll be nothing more than hot air if there's no love. If we don't have a love for the souls of men and women and the people that are around about us. We need that love. And I want you to see the sort of love that Paul had for the Thessalonians here. I want you to notice that it was gentle love. It was affable love. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And the word that is translated gentle there is a word that means affable or mild or kind. Gentleness is to be a characteristic of a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 it says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." And you notice the word gentle. He is gentle like a nursing mother. I came across a sermon that had on this passage of Scripture that had the title, "The Parent Pastor." And I think that was a good description. The Parent Pastor. And that's the relationship between the minister and the flock. There's the role of the parent pastor as a mother cherisheth her children. And the mother will try to be gentle with her children, but she'll not let them off. She'll not let them be bold. She'll not let them run around. She'll not let them get into things that they shouldn't do. And she will chide them if they go wrong, but she will try to do it in a gentle way. And Paul is here speaking about his kindness and his gentleness here. But then he also uses the other parent. He speaks about not only gentle as a mother, but as a father. Look at what he says in verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You see, this gentleness is not to be confused with weakness. This is a strong love. This is a love that charges. This is the motherly love, the nursing mother, but also the father that charges the children. The trait and the character of both are here. And that's the role of the minister. He's to look after and he's to make sure that we don't go wrong, don't stray into bypath meadow. Make sure that we're walking on a path that God would have us to walk on. That is the gentle love that we have. But not only is it gentle love, but it is genial love. It is affectionate love. Not only affable love, but affectionate love. Paul says, so being affectionately desirous of you. And you should notice the fact that Paul had only known the Thessalonians really a few months when he wrote this letter. He had been driven out of Thessalonica in a short period of time. So he only known them a very short period of time. And yet here he writes, having only known them a short period, about that affectionate love that he had for them. And there was a knitting together of the love of Paul and his people. And I know, I haven't spoken to the Reverend Porter, but I know the Reverend Porter, and I know what happens in a situation like this, how that so soon there is that knitting together of the love of pastor and people. And I know that that'll grow. And I know that that will flourish as you get to know one another, as you get to know the Reverend Porter, and he gets to know you, and gets to know your families. But that is one of the marks of the call of God. There is that knitting together of pastor and people. And the pastor does have a love. Many times the pastor will be up at night. Many times the pastor will lie awake thinking about the people, thinking about the problems and the difficulties that you're going through. And there is that genial love. But something else, it's giving love. It's self-abnegating love. Paul says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. And the true servant of Christ will be willing to give. He will give his time, he will give his talents, he will give sometimes to the detriment of himself and his own family. But I want to tell you, the work of the Lord is not just a job, it's a calling. There is a trade union for ministers, but we don't join it. Because the minister, if he's doing his job, when you come to him with a problem, he's not going to say, well, it's my time off. He's not going to say, well, I've clocked off for the evening. He's not going to say that. But you know, dear friend, he's a one with love in his heart. And because of that, it is a giving love. Now, don't take advantage of that. Make sure that the minister has time off. Make sure that the minister has time for himself. But you think of what Paul said to every child of God. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's what God expects of all of his people. That giving love. That willingness to give ourselves, not to say, well, not suitable for me, or it doesn't suit me this evening because I have a television program to watch or something like that. No, it is a giving of ourselves. And you not only see the sort of His love, but the source of His love. Because all of these things are marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said of the Lord, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." And he speaks about His gentleness here. And all this is a showing forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that what every Christian is to do? Isn't that what we are to do in our life? We are to show forth. We are to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, is your life a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do others see Christ in you? Do they see something of the Savior in what you do and the way that you act and the things that you are interested in? Is there the mark of the Savior? But not only do I want you to see the minister's love, but I want you to see the minister's labor. Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, "For ye, remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Look at the words labor and travail. There's the thought of toil. Actually, in those words, there's the thought of trouble. The word travail there has the thought of hardship. We're to endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I remember hearing one of our ministers say that you could do the work of the ministry in the way that would make it the easiest job in the world. You could do a few visits and preach a few sermons on a Sunday and take the rest of the time off. Some people think that the minister only comes, he only works on Sunday. Well, you could do that. But you wouldn't be doing it right. Because if you do it right, it's the hardest job in the world. And I know that the Lord's servant, you've heard the testimony already tonight, and you'll probably hear it again, about our brother as a diligent worker. But you know we need to work. Why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. And we need to work because of the preeminence of the task. What are we involved in? We are involved in dealing with the souls of men and women, and we're dealing with the extension of God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And the servant of God is dealing with eternal issues. He's dealing with the issues of eternal life and eternal death. And the king's business requireth haste. And dear friend, his job is to preach Christ. His job is to preach the gospel. His job is to deal with the eternal issues of the fact of heaven and hell, and life and death, and light and darkness. And dear friend, the world looks at preaching as foolishness today, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. And we're dealing with the issues of your soul. That's why it's important. And that's why this night is a historic night in the history of Enniskillen. It mightn't be in Trimble's history of Enniskillen. But dear friend, this is an important night. Because a man of God has come among you. A man with a burden to preach the word. To see you saved by His grace if you're not saved. And built up in His most holy faith. If you know Him as your Savior. We labor because of the preeminence of the task, but also because of the product of failure. Because the Bible says that the minister or the servant is a watchman, and if he does not warn, then the Bible says that the blood of those that perish will be laid at the watchman's feet. It says in Ezekiel The Lord's prophet, he said, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand." I remember one of our ministers, and there was a minister preaching at a funeral, and there was no gospel whatsoever. And this particular minister went to the man and he said, "There's blood on your hands." And he said, "Oh, what?" He looked at his hands. But there was blood in his hands because he wasn't preaching the gospel. We need gospel preachers today. We need those that will declare the whole counsel of God. We need, this town needs people warned of wrath to come. We see the ministers labor. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the minister's loyalty. Look at verses 4 to 6. He says, "But as we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any man used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." So what is Paul saying? He says, I don't seek glory of men. My business is not firstly and foremostly to man. Of course, it is to men. We preach the gospel to men. Where does his loyalty lie? Loyalty is with God. His loyalty is with God. And his desire, first, to please God. Not to please man, to please God. And look at the accusation he denies. He says that he was not guilty of using flattering words or a cloak of covetousness. Paul knew that one day he was going to give an account of himself before God. And he said, "I'm not like a lot of preachers that come with tickling words, tickle people's ears. I'm not concerned with pleasing people." A lot of places today, their whole concern is pleasing people. Oh, do anything to get a crowd. Oh, let's have a band or a rock concert, and let's have all these things so that we can get a crowd. Let's tickle their ears. And we want to get people. We want to please people. We want to get people pleased with what we have to say. I say tonight, the Lord's servant here is not here primarily to please people. He's here to please God. And there are things that you need to hear that will not please you. There are a lot of places today, and they've taken the wrath of God out of the gospel. And they've taken hell out of the gospel. And they've taken the justice and holiness of God out of the gospel. Because these are things that people don't want to hear. And they say, well, people don't want to hear them. We take them out. We can't offend people. The greatest crime that you can commit in this day and generation is to offend somebody. Well, dear friend, the gospel preacher will offend you. Because the gospel is an offense. It's an offense to those that are outside of Christ. Paul didn't use gimmicks or manipulation. He wasn't like the TV evangelists who use this cloak of covetousness. They're using the ministry to get funds, to get money. And the cloak here speaks about a disguise. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Dear friend, if you're sitting under someone that doesn't preach the gospel, there might be a nice man or a nice woman in these days. There might be some kind of a wonderful individual. They might be some kind of very gentle, man-like individual. But if they're not preaching the gospel, they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Look at the accusation he denies. Paul says, "I'm not one of them. I'm here to please God." And no matter what the factions of the world may be, and no matter what may be out there, we're here to please God. Not only do you see the accusation he denies, but the achievement he wants. What is Paul's concern? What is his desire? That God may be glorified. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is what he said, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it must be the desire of any true pulpit to exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else. Notice the minister's language. Look at verse 4. What does he say? But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart. What is the minister primarily? Is he a social worker? Is he a master of ceremonies? Is he some kind of entertainer? No, what is the minister of Christ? He's a preacher. Well, Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, or 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 2, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What does this land need? Needs the preaching of the word. Why are the hospitals full? Why are people taking all sorts of drugs and medications today? In many cases, it's because they have neglected what God's word has to say. It's because of sin that has entered in. Not all sin, sickness is because of sin. Let me put in the proviso there. But there is a good amount of it that is. But you see here, what this land needs is the preaching of the word of God. And we need to hear the preaching of the gospel sounded out in this day. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And dear friend, in this meeting, if you're outside of Christ, then the very first thing that you need is our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no other way of salvation. There's no other way by which you can be saved, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, the need of our land is the preaching forth of God's precious word. What are we lacking today? Gospel righteousness, biblical morality. What has been abandoned in this day? The ways of God and the things of God. And man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And the only way to get our land back is that God break in and make a revival. And we see God's word and commands implemented once again. We need to see the preaching of the word. But not only do we see that in the minister's language, but I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 11. It says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one as a father doth his children. I want you to look at the three words there. He exhorted them. Now that's a word that can be translated, he urged them. He urged them with arguments, with reasons. We come to you with reasons. Ours is our reasonable faith. Come now, the Lord says, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We come to preach a Savior who walked this scene of time. We come to preach one who was here in the world, and one who has ascended on high, and one who's coming again. He exhorted them, he urged them. Not only did he exhort them, but he encouraged them. It says he comforted them. The Thessalonians were under persecution here, and many of them had misapprehensions about what would happen to them and when they would die. And the Christian's not immune from the trials of this life. And the minister comes with words of encouragement. And I know our brother will do that in the days that lie ahead. Not only were there words of exhortation and encouragement, but there were words of entreaty. It says he charged them. And there is the thought there of a solemn charge or an appeal. The thought here is that he pleaded with them, bearing witness with them, bringing his own experiences to bear and appealing to them. There's the thought of emotion there. The minister's not some dry stick with no feeling. He comes with the heart. He pleads from the heart because he knows that your eternal welfare is involved. We see the minister's language. But then I want you to see something else. Look at the minister's leadership. Look at what Paul says in verse 10. He says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Paul's an example. Paul walked a godly life. Paul walked a holy life before his God. Men, women, head knowledge is a wonderful thing. And we can have all the head knowledge, but we need to know the Lord in the heart. We need to walk with him daily, personally. There's an old chorus that says, "Do you know, Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? The Lord can surely use you to spread the good news. So walk it and talk it, live it and give it, know it and show it. You're a sermon in shoes." I hope that you're a sermon in shoes. What a challenge. Paul was able to stand before God and say, he says here, I am an example. He says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you." And there's the thought here of the example. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not those that will come and blame the gospel minister and say things about the gospel minister and accuse him of things that he doesn't do or doesn't say or doesn't mean. But what we need to make sure is that we walk in such a way that their accusations that they make against us are false. What a challenge. What a challenge to every child of God. We are an example in our private life. We've got to guard the family, guard the place where we get alone with God, guard our personal relationship with Christ. Have you been guarding your personal relationship with Christ? What is your personal relationship with Christ tonight? Is it what it ought to be? He's an example in his private life, and he's an example in his public life. A picture of integrity and a picture of godliness. And you see the minister's leadership. It's often said the congregation will only rise as far as their minister. But one more thing I want you to see tonight, and that's the minister's laurels. Look at what Paul says in verse 19. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." We think of the crown, and Very often when we think about the crown, we think of the kingly crown, the royal crown. But this is not what Paul is talking about. He's speaking about the laurel crown, the laurel wreath that is awarded to the winning runner at the end of the games. And Paul uses the same image in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, and he says, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And Paul is saying his converts are his crown. These converts in Thessalonica, he says they're my crown of rejoicing. He really said accurately that they are the things that he will be able to boast of when he stands before God. We don't often think about boasting before God. But that's really what he's saying here. That's what he's sort of indicating. These are the things that I'll present before God. This is what he says in Philippians 2 and 16 when he speaks of holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Dear friend, the thing that every minister dreads is to labor in vain. Now there are times, we think of Jeremiah who preached, think of Noah who preached for years and years and saw nobody come except his own family in the case of Noah. There are situations like that where the fruit is other than seeing souls brought to Christ. But you know, those that we win to Christ are those that we present before the throne. And you know the wonderful, the most wonderful thing that can be said about us when we stand before God is those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, you can labor for many things. You can labor for a beautiful home. You can labor for your family to have them provided for. You can labor for a good job, for a great position. But at the end of the day, what does it matter? Because we have to leave it all behind. It's only what's done for Christ that will last. What are you doing for Christ? Are you saved by His grace? And if you're one of the Lord's people tonight, are you walking with Him? Are you walking with Him? Come tonight. Make this a blessed time. When you either get right with God or you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Make this a blessed time. As God speaks. As God speaks to your heart. May you come. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
I'd like to thank our moderator for that challenge to our hearts, challenge to the heart of every minister, a challenge to the heart of every saint of God, and a challenge to each one that's unconverted in our meeting this evening. We're going to call upon our brother, the Reverend Larry Parr, to commit our meeting unto the Lord in prayer. And after that, we'll hand over to the minister of the congregation here, our brother, the Reverend James Porter, to bring the rest of the meeting to a conclusion. Reverend Parr.
Just before we bow together in prayer, just like to add a personal word of welcome to our brother, James Porter, and his wife and family here to Bethel. When our brother was over in Donegal, I was in congregation in Keish, and we shared in many a gospel mission and outreaches together. And we're looking forward to his fellowship again here in the future days. He's a good man, and he loves the Lord, and he's a preacher of the gospel. And we wish him and his family every blessing in the days that lie ahead. Let us bow together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy precious word that we've heard tonight. We thank Thee for Thy truth. We bless Thee, our Heavenly Father, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, for the ministry of Thy word. And we would ask tonight, as we're bowed in prayer, in our Savior's name, Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy servant as he comes among us, that his entrance here into this place and among the people, in this town, Lord, of Enniskillen, and in the surrounding area, surrounding districts, that, Lord, you would make his ministry to be prosperous, and, Lord, that you would undertake for him. We thank thee for his life and for his testimony and for his faithfulness. Bless him here, our God, we ask, as he comes to preach the word of God. We would ask tonight, our Father, in prayer, Lord, that he would be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Fill him with thy Spirit, Lord, day by day. Endue him, Lord, with that power that comes from above, and undertake for him. We pray too, Father, for his wife and family, our gracious God, that thou would undertake, Lord, for them, that they would settle in here amongst us, Lord, quickly, that they would know the help, the blessing of God, and the fellowship of the Lord. We commend our brother and his family, Lord, to thee in prayer. Undertake, Lord, for him. Give him many precious souls for his hire and for his labor. Bless his ministry here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Do we thank you, brother, for leading us in prayer. We're going to just turn now, please, to the final hymn in your order of service. There's a great hymn written by Charles Wesley, "Give Me the Faith Which Can Remove and Sink the Mountain to a Plain, and Give Me the Childlike Praying Love Which Longs to Build Thy House Again." May this hymn be the prayer of all of our hearts tonight who know and love the Lord as Saviour, that we might know God's grace and enablement in these days in which we live, and to do the will of the Lord. Do please remember the supper after the meeting. I encourage you all to stay behind. I know the ladies have been busy preparing, and there's food for all, enough to feed 5,000 and more, I'm sure. So don't be going away. Stay behind for a cup of tea and fellowship. Can I say also that just after the proceedings, the presentations, we'll call on Mr. Keith Ferguson after the benediction to do that. I would ask if the ministers who have taken part tonight would just stay at the front here. The photographer wants to get a photograph of you. I don't know where that photograph will go, probably the vision and somewhere else, and a photograph also of the family as well, and also a photograph with myself and the elders and committee here. So if you could maybe do that just immediately after the proceedings, and then you'll be free to mingle after that. But we'll stand to sing this great hymn, singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Let us really sing out to the Lord's great name.
remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence among us. We thank Thee, O God, for the faithful preaching of Thy holy word. Bless Thy word tonight to the strengthening, the building up, the blessing of every believer in Christ in this gathering. Lord, should there be any, Lord, in this gathering who know Thee not as Savior, draw them savingly and believingly unto Yourself. And Lord, may they know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven. Lord, we just thank Thee for all who have taken part tonight. We pray that Thy blessing shall be upon them all in their service for Thee. And that Thou, Lord, would bless us in these days in which we live. That we might see a great awakening, a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. Even in revival power and in revival grace. We thank Thee, Lord, for the good things that have been provided. Bless the hands that have prepared them. Do bless our fellowship together around a cup of tea. Later on, take us to our several homes in safety. Give us travelling mercies, we pray. And grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all this night and forevermore. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'll ask now one of the elders from the church here, Mr. Keith Ferguson, to come to the pulpit. Thank you.
On this very happy evening, which we as a congregation have been eagerly anticipating, I'm delighted to welcome our new minister, the Reverend James Porter. And on behalf of the session, committee and congregation, I'd like to give the Reverend Porter and Mrs. Porter and the family a very warm welcome to Enniskillen. And as a congregation, we trust that soon you will all feel very much at home in Bethel and in County Fermanagh. We thank God for his leading and guidance in both the Reverend Porter and our congregation in this matter, resulting in the installation service tonight. We are looking forward to the Reverend Porter's ministry, trusting the Lord will use him powerfully in these days that lie ahead, and that we as a church may know a gracious outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our church and families and the surrounding district. We can assure the Reverend Porter of our help in the work and our prayerful support as we labour together in this part of the vineyard. We also want to remember the Market Hill congregation in their loss and pray that very soon the Lord will provide a minister for the work there. At this stage of the, I want to make a presentation to the Reverend Porter of the Word of God and give him a check, which is the offering taken up tonight as a love gift from the congregation. I'm now going to ask Mrs. Porter to come to the front, and Gillian Gillespie, our children evangelist, is going to make a presentation of a bouquet of flowers. We also, as a congregation, want to thank most sincerely our interim moderator, the Reverend Robison, for his diligent labours and guidance over the past 18 months. We have all been blessed by his ministry and encouraged by the message that he brought. He has been very faithful in visiting the sick, the elderly, those in hospital, and conducting most of the prayer meetings and our session meetings and committee meetings. And on behalf of the congregation, I want to say a sincere thank you. I would like to present a cheque as a token of our appreciation for all your labours and help and guidance among us. Thank you most sincerely for all your guidance. I've been very grateful in your duties, and my words can't express all that you've done for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And if Mrs. Robinson would come to the front, I'll ask Gillian again to make a presentation of a bouquet of flowers. Thank you.
To thank our brother Keith for those remarks and presentations to myself and wife, and also to the Reverend Robinson and to his wife, and we thank the congregation here for your invite, your welcome, and we pray the Lord will really bless us here in the service of the Lord together just in the days that lie ahead. Now, there's supper for everyone, so don't be going away. The ladies will serve that up and you see some, but maybe if we just could have the brethren up at the front who took part tonight for that photograph. I know Stephen's about here somewhere, the photographer, and to do that, and then maybe the office bearers as well of the church, and I think they want one of the family as well. Thank you very much. Thank you.